everybody. This is the Pig Podcast, where we talk about all things investment as Platinum Investment Group. I'm here with Brian Hogman and myself, Tobias Smulders, and we're your one and only invest resource. There we go.
Right on, brother. Yes, I'm coming to you live from quarantine.
Coming to you live from quarantine with the Corona beard and the Corona hair. There we go.
I love it. Good. Yeah. New situations call for new adaptations, and that's
there what we go. Doing. Yeah, it's been cool. It's been different. I think it's just adjusting to the options and what you have at hand and what you can do. But it's been nice to see how differently things can be done too. It'll be interesting to see how things progress moving forward once this is over. Especially if it's short term or long term. The Buffini Network, I was listening to their podcast, and he said normally like they have about 10% of people work from home, but they have gone to over 90% of people were working from home. They're in California, so they probably have no one in the office anymore now, everyone working from home. But he said that he goes, I expect that I'm going to get a lot of the calls like, hey, remember when I couldn't come in and I worked from home? I want to do that again now. Like it's interesting. Well,
and you know what's cool? Like I've even realized that with our office now. Like I'm grateful I didn't buy a bigger office building. You know? Well, seriously though, because I think I can end up doing like I think the workplace is going to be more so of a social place where it's kind of like people will want to come in to see everybody.
Yeah.
Not every day. You know what I mean? So I might have like I think we'll legitimately change to maybe work from home different people 2-3 days a week.
Yeah.
And then come in the office 2-3 days and then I'll probably end up doing like a co-motion kind of thing on my main floor and basement, rent out the office space and then use the office for this like sort of divvy it up. So it's like, yeah, you can work from home.
Yeah.
Like clearly everybody is 100% at our office working from home fine and liking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think people miss the social.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. Like you
could always even adjust your space. Like if you do that to have larger, you know, open space, like training space, sort of like that. And less like privated offices. And, you know, you got a couple similar like closing rooms like you have, and then that more open space would be cool. And then even if you're not utilizing it all, we're always about investment here. You know, you could get that other part generating more income for the business too, right? So it'll be interesting to see like how business office space and how real estate translates into this, because everybody was sort of a week ago very doom and gloom about the real estate market. They're like, oh, the stock market is crashing, now real estate's gonna crash. But
stock market came back almost 15% the other day.
So. I know. And so it's funny because I think it's two things. One, the stock market goes down, which is sad. A lot of people, you know, end up with less money if they sold stuff, but if they just retained it, they didn't lose anything. Like my favorite quote is, you know, I've never lost money in real estate because I never sold anything.
Yeah.
Like you never lose if you don't sell it.
It's awesome. Yeah. You know,
it's just basically numbers on a screen if you don't sell it. But I think that at the same time, there was an opportunity for a lot of savvy people to jump in when it was down and then gain wealth too. And then I think also that when the stock market is weaker, I think that often fortifies real estate, because from an investor standpoint, I think that a lot of people don't cross that. I think a lot of people do, but a lot of people don't. They either like real estate, like me, I'm very heavy into real estate. I invest mostly only into real estate. Where there's people that are stock oriented and they'll only invest in stocks. But when you take a huge hit on your investment, that makes you rethink and maybe retool and say, huh, maybe I'll take a lot of this money and switch avenues and do real estate, because a lot of people know that it's good investment and pretty stable. Bricks and mortar is strong traditionally. Like there's very few times that we have real heavy dips in real estate throughout the history. And I think it could even force more people to invest in real estate, because even for somebody contemplating which avenue do I go, well, if you just saw the stock market do a yo-yo and it didn't quite come back up to your hand, you might look at real estate and say, it's a little bit more stable, and at least I always have the dirt. So I don't think that it's going to have a significant impact on real estate. I think everything's a little bit slow right now. And when that happens, we often end up with pent up demand too. Buyers willing to buy and sellers willing to sell, and then they can't. And then all of a sudden, boom, everything like releases and everybody just goes gangbusters. And we saw it when they had shortages on financing, or when the market was just like slower and sellers weren't willing to put their houses on the market, but the buyers still wanted to buy because we have such great rates and stuff. And just home ownership in general is sought after goal. The sellers were bringing their product to the market. It built up this pent up demand when sellers finally felt comfortable to start really releasing stuff in the market. I would say like this winter is a pretty good example. Like January, February, before all of this, was very, very busy. The market was exponentially growing, and they had cited like, you know, 6% and 7% growth for the year. I think we did that in the first 2 months. Like, it was insane.
Well, and you know what, that's going to happen too when this passes, right? So we're going to have a little bit of a lull, but then it's going to be like a slingshot.
I think so.
I think you're going to see your spring market in the summer, right?
Yeah.
You'll be able to chill out by the pool, unfortunately. You know what? You're going to be out selling houses. You know?
Yeah, I know. We said it. We joked. I wish it was nice weather, like really nice weather, and the pool was open. I hang out at my house for a week with...
I know. I'm grateful it's getting there, because it's like that excitement of spring coming, you know? Yes. So you're kind of like, you know, like today's going to be 12 degrees or 10, and it's like, woo, you know? So
And at least it's been really nice and sunny. Like, that's always good for the soul to just look out the window and see that it's like, it's nice looking.
No, I totally agree.
And even we, you know, you get bundled up and go out and, for us, walk the dogs around the neighborhood. We're lucky we live in such a nice neighborhood to walk around in. So good times.
Sweet, man. I think one of the biggest things is just for tenants, right? Like, have you had tenants emailing you saying they can't pay, or what's happened, or what?
We have had some tenants that have just said, hey, like, I got, you know, laid off like early because of all of this. And one person, self-employed, was unable to continue working just because of what's going on. And they said, well, you know, we're not going to be able to pay the rent, or we won't be able to pay in full. And I think that now is a time where we talked a long time ago about building that good relationship with your tenant, and how having a good relationship can make things a lot easier for you as a landlord. This is a good time to like give and take a little, because ultimately from the tenant's perspective, it's not that they're intentionally being bad. They just, life changed for everyone hugely. And, you know, they're not trying to be bad. They're just unfortunate times. So if you can work with them and sort of help them help you, you know, do the best that they can, that's probably going to go a long way in the future when this is all over and it comes to some other scenario. They'll, you know, they'll remember that gratitude.
I totally agree. Yeah. Like, I've actually had a couple of tenants reach out and tell me they're going to be fine to pay.
Oh, good. Good. And I'm just like, that's nice of them too.
It's so thoughtful, because like, honestly, I think some landlords think all tenants are bad or this or that, but the reality is they're people going through things, and they understand that we're people too. When you have a relationship, it's good. Right. So, and I think it's just, you know, you get more bees with honey than vinegar. So
totally
making sure that, you know, I have one tenant right now, he's been affected, and we're just communicating back and forth and say, hey, what do you want? What works for you?
Yeah.
You know, can you pay anything? Do you know what I mean? Like, why don't we work out a payment plan now? Why don't we start something now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's going to come due at some point, and you know, if you can afford a couple $100 now, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And even going as far as to helping them fill out the forms or sending them, because the EI forms have been processed really, really quick too.
Yep.
And like that emergency assistance where you get what, it's $450 a week. I think they have, if you've been affected, it's $900 every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Well, it's better than nothing, right?
Better, every little bit helps at this point, right? Like, and I think we've got some links for that too. To the Canada website, we can put in the description and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, for the tenants, like I initially was really concerned. I'm like, oh no, everyone's getting laid off. But I've got a lot of tenants that are frontline workers and essential services. So, you know, they're still working and keeping busy, and shout out to them for helping everybody in this time and keeping the world going. And
yeah, people like everyone's safe. Are frontline workers, man. That's you know, it's so weird now too. Like I had to go to, I had to go to the bank for something. And it's just like, it's eerie. Even when you go to the grocery store, it's just a different world, you know? And I try to like, you know, Wendy always kind of like busts my balls a bit, but I'm trying to make it like, not trying to make a joke, but try to show that like, we can still talk to each other. Like you can still say hi to people. Like,
yeah,
it's weird how people don't even want to like, you don't even want to like look at somebody.
For fear that they'll start talking to you and come too close.
Yeah. Or like you're going to turn into a zombie or something. It's like, you can still look at people and talk to people and make a joke and kind of like, you know,
just
trying to overcome that fear that everybody has right now. So.
Yeah, for sure. What else for tenants, you know, for support or average person?
Yeah. Well, I think most places have been pretty good. Like most lenders have been pretty good for just on the landlord side for deferrals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know some lenders have been good for deferring. One of them was just like, I'll wait and see to see who pays. Right. Like
the lender
basically saying like, listen, like if people don't pay, we'll help you out, but don't ask for help until they haven't paid.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Like, and that's not a bad way to run it.
What's that?
That's not a bad way to run it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, listen, like you shouldn't be an investment property if you're living paycheck to paycheck.
No. Or you're doing something wrong with your investment property if you haven't built up any reserve, you know?
Yeah. If you don't have any reserve and something like this happens, it's a good reminder to say, hey, what are you doing with your money? Right? Because like if you can't afford one payment, like you're really, really leveraged, right? I know we don't want that to happen, but it's like, hey, if they don't pay, you'll be okay. Because the first week of April, you can say, okay, listen, I didn't get a payment. Please defer my payment for May and June.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then you can prove it. I know some lenders are asking for proof right now. Some lenders aren't asking for proof. So you can do that. And I think even for tenants, asking them for the paperwork is a good idea too.
Oh yeah.
Well, like you can even sort of say like, listen, hey, show me how you've been affected and I can maybe help you fill out your paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah, right? For sure. Because
then you're kind of like, you're working, you're helping them, but then you're making sure that someone, you're weeding out the people that aren't affected too. Because unfortunately there's always people that are going to try and take advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that's probably a very, very small portion of people right now. I think it's kind of interesting because if anything, I think you can really see a lot of humanity with everybody right now.
Yeah. And yeah, for me too, I got initially really concerned that we're going to have, oh my God, no tenants paying rent and we're going to be in trouble because we're not so highly leveraged that we can't do 1 month, but we have a little bit going on. I have people at my door. Hi. dropping stuff off. So we were just talking about humanity. I just got a card, personalized card dropped off.
Personalized card?
Yeah. Shout out to Alex Coombs, our friend and photographer. She's delivered a card here. That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I was really concerned. So I called Scotiabank. We get a lot of stuff with them. We're not super over leveraged, but if, you know, everybody didn't pay, we'd be not a good spot in a, you know, couple months. And they had the option to defer 3 properties. Yep. So we went ahead and did that. And, you know, we have more mortgages than that, but just those 3 will probably bridge that gap for the people that can't pay, or that we can sort of help that tenant float their time until everything normalizes for them. So that'll be like, it's like, It's really a cash flow thing. Maybe you can talk more about it, but it's not like that payment goes away and there's a cost to deferring.
It's not a payment holiday.
Yeah.
Like a payment deferral, right? It's not like you want a free mortgage payment. It's coming. It's still there. You still got to pay interest on it, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
What did CIBC say, or the RBC, just out of curiosity? Was it as simple with those banks as it was with?
CIBC had told me that I got a call in and that the call times were quite long. And my mortgages...
It was quite long?
They said it was a really long wait time because they're just fielding so many calls.
Right.
My mortgage isn't till the 7th at that property. So I was waiting. I haven't called in to them yet. And at Royal, I just emailed them, my advisor, and they did it. I don't have, but it was very easy. They, you know, the necessary questions. Have you been materially affected on your income? You would know them better. Your income material affected.
Has your employment status been changed?
Employment status changed.
Yeah. And has your income been materially affected? And then if you answered yes to those questions, they're dealing
with your primary residence.
The principal residence, right?
Yeah.
Just your primary right now.
Yeah.
They didn't ask for any proof then?
No. They didn't ask for proof, which was good. Because at this point in time, we haven't not been paid by the tenants. It was almost like preemptive that I was concerned about it.
I think that's, you know what? It's interesting because that's one of the reasons we're seeing rates go up right now.
Yes.
Because rates are going up because of liquidity. So even though you're seeing the Bank of Canada and everybody dropping interest rates right now, they're actually, banks are have to become more profitable because they're really deferring a ton of money right now that they still have to pay for.
Yes.
Right. It's kind of like, and I use the example, like if you lent me $100,000, mm-hmm. right, and I was paying you $1,000 a month, if you borrowed that off your line of credit for $300,
yes,
and deferred my payment for $1,000, you still have to pay the $300.
Yes.
And that's kind of how banks work off of leverage. They still have to pay everybody's GICs or savings or bank accounts. So even though they're deferring stuff, that's a huge liquidity problem for a bank.
Yes, yes.
Right? So for them to make their stuff more appealing and more profitable, you know, not that we're all going to sing, you know, the blues for the banks. But the reality is like they need to keep pumping money out into the market in order to keep the economy moving forward, because we need to have money. So if everybody gets a deferral right now, it's going to cause more of that liquidity. So it's kind of good where, you know, take your time and don't do every property, do a few properties for investors and things like that to sort of wait and see. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think from like an investment standpoint, I don't think you have the ability to defer everything even if you wanted to.
True.
And I checked with them while I was doing it too, because your interest still accrues, and then you're getting interest on interest, like compounding over the period of your mortgage. So there's a cost to it for sure. And
get a little loud in there, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. And the issue arises then, you have a larger payment after your deferral. They gave me a scenario, but it basically bumped the payment up, you know, just over 10% for the period of the mortgage, which was, it's substantial.
If you're paying $1,100 a month, that's $11, $12. If you're paying $2,000, it's 20. That could be, you know, eats into your cash flow, right? So
yeah, the scenario they gave was a small mortgage, and the payment was around $700, and it was going to bump the payment up to just over $800.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So you know, if you double that to like, if it's $1,400, all of a sudden you're paying $1,600.
Yeah, you're paying over $40 more. Yeah.
No, so it's definitely like a short-term cash flow fix. If you need that, and you have the opportunity still to pay.
What's that?
So it can be deferred, but if you don't have any issues with your tenants and stuff, you can still make that as a prepayment. So say your mortgage payment is $1,500 and you've deferred it, but then your tenant pays, you don't need that deferral. You can still make your payment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. True. Yep. And I think it's good to, like, for those with multiple properties, you can use that money or keep that money and allocate it to different properties, right?
Yes.
So you've got, like, I know for me, having two or three deferred, and then I end up having three or four that aren't, you can allocate that money where it needs to for that time frame, right?
Totally. So,
and I think the idea too is that even if your payment goes up, based on the idea that you deferred it because you weren't getting rent, theoretically you're getting more rent when the deferral comes up anyways, right? Because now that person who couldn't pay you should be on a payment plan paying you $100 or $200 more than what they would have.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Which not everything works out perfect, right?
You know, we'll see how it goes. Some people are going to get dug deep, I think, if they're not responsible.
Yeah. Guys, I hope you learned lots from this. And listen, we're going to continue to do this. And any information that we get, we will pass along on to as well. And if you have any questions, concerns, please forward them on to myself or my beautiful co-star there, Tobias. And we're happy to answer any questions. And as more information comes about, we'll share it with you. Okay?
Beautiful.
Make it a
fabulous day.